within me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, that's our prayer today. We need you, Lord. The world is falling apart, O God. Trouble on every side. Help us, Lord, to see what's important, what is right, what we should be thinking about, what we should be focusing on. Lord, bless your people today. Lord, you know all of our needs. You know everything that we need, Father. We just commit them into your hands. And we believe and ask that you're more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Help us, Lord, today. We commit it all into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated for a moment. Praise the Lord. Does she have a special today? No? Yes? Are you going to sing? All right, good. So, Carmen is from Canada, and was headed to Florida, but something got in the way. So she's staying with us for this week, and so I think she has a song. Huh? Let's see if we can find a microphone, Amber. Which one? This one here. It's better.
I'm just getting over a cold, so I just pray that this still blesses you. At times the load is heavy, at times the road is long. When circumstances come your way and you feel you can't go on, when you're feeling at your weakest, Jesus will be strong. Yeah. He'll provide the answers when you found all hope is gone. He'll find a way. For I know that if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know that he can raise up mountains and calm a storm-tossed wave. And if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, he'll find a way. And at times your heart is breaking with a pain that's so intense, and all you hold are broken pieces to a life that makes no sense. He wants to lift you up and hold you and mend each torn event. He'll pick up the pieces that you thought had all been spent. God will find a way, for I know that if he can paint the sunset and put the stars in place, I know that he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves. And if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, my God is more than able to see you through. He'll find a way. For I know that if he can paint the sunset and put the stars in place, I know that he can raise up mountains and calm all those storm-tossed waves. And if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, he'll find a way. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He'll find a way. He'll find a way. Amen. Didn't sound like she had a cold. Such a beautiful thought, though. He'll find a way. You know, I was talking to a retired pastor. A new family moved in next door to us. Very nice family, a couple little kids, and they work a lot. And so his father and mother come and help out watching the kids. And so he was a retired pastor. So I got a chance to talk to him yesterday, and just a very nice conversation with the guy. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, trust. He said, that's such a big word, you know. And that always impacts me, too, trust. Amen. See, a lot of our problem is we don't trust him. Amen. A lot of our problems come from unbelief, which Amen. A lack of faith or unbelief. And then really, if you get underneath that, why don't we? It's because of lack of trust. And so I just really enjoyed talking to, you know, he was older and his hand was shaking a little bit. He was talking about that. And I said, but you got another body coming. And so isn't it nice to have that promise? Amen. You know, it's if we in this life only have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. But we have a hope beyond this life. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Carmen. I forgot that you were such a good singer. What a beautiful voice, huh?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Can we all stand and read from the scriptures this morning? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Very familiar, a couple verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm going to start with verse 1. But let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you'll find a way. Lord, we're trusting in that. We're trusting in you, and we're trusting in your word. We can't find any place to rest our souls except in your word. This earth is shifting sands. There's no safe place, Lord, except in you.
Amen.
So we want to trust you today, and I ask you to bless the reading of your word. I ask you to move me aside, Father. You know my heart, that I think of myself, Lord, that I'm unworthy and unprofitable, Lord. But if you would come by grace and mercy and move us aside, you could lift us all up into heavenly places. You could pour out your spirit upon us. You could speak to us. You could confirm your word with signs and wonders following. Lord, we're expecting that, Lord, because it's in your word. It's a promise. And I ask you to bless each one. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Excuse me. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I might not keep this. Keep this on, Amber. As long as it doesn't get feedback, I might not hold this the whole time. So, pray. But I can hear myself better there, so then I don't shout as much, which is probably better for you. We always give the screamers this microphone. PJ, so that they can hear themselves screaming. And I know they don't mean to scream, but, you know, preaching is not just about a style. It's about communication. And we really want the Word of God. We don't want the Word of man. So this scripture was on my heart for many weeks. And actually, I had it in my notes when I was preaching a while ago. And I, you know, you never know what the preacher doesn't get to. So only the preacher knows that, right? So this scripture was in my heart, and I just didn't get to it one day. And I thought, well, maybe it's for another day. And so I, it came on my heart strong this week, and so I wanted to look at it. And just today, this morning, when I came in, just to show you little things for me, you know, mean something to me. And I looked in the mailbox. I always look in the mailbox to see if there's anything there, and there's usually nothing there. And there was a letter in there from another church, and they were inviting us to come to some meeting. But they used this exact scripture: "Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Do you believe that? So that encourages me, gives me a little confirmation. You know, God deals with us in different ways. For me, you know, it's like when you're going the right way, He gives you a little breadcrumb sometimes to show you that it just keep pressing. Just keep pressing. So we looking at Israel here, they left Egypt and they were headed to the Promised Land. And the reality of it is that they should have made it in a few weeks. But we know, Bible readers know, they didn't get there for more than 40 years. So the journey that should have been a few weeks took 40 years. And you can look at all the reasons why that happened, but that's what happened. Something that should have taken a very short time took a long time. Or something that could have taken a short time actually took a long time. All right? So we're looking at that, how that, you know, why did it take so long? But Brother Bram said this in a message, choosing law for grace. Well, that's one of the problems, is people want to do it themselves, see? But let's just look at what he said here. Like Israel did, we couldn't get along just going the way the Holy Spirit was leading on. We had to add something to cause unbelief to come in. If Israel would have went ahead following the way the Lord was leading them, within 2 weeks they'd have been in the Promised Land. But they had to substitute something. So he's looking at what they did there. And when I think about it and I look at history, mankind, he usually can't keep himself from injecting his idea into God's plan. But that's where it gets all messed up. Man's always trying to improve what God has done. You know, like when you look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, I don't know about you, but I pray the Lord's Prayer and I try to meditate on it, because He taught us how to pray, and that's the best way to pray, is to think about those things that He highlighted there. And just, you could spend all your time on just one part of that. But, you know, we can't improve what God's done. You can't improve God's plan of salvation. Man's always wants to save himself. He always wants to come his way. But God has provided a way. Amen. And when he died on, you know, if we could save ourselves, why would he die on the cross? Amen. If we could earn it, if we could work our way into it, if we could be good enough, then why would he need to die on the cross and suffer that way? But God has provided a way. See, in the beginning, when they fell, there was an animal sacrifice. There was an innocent blood sacrifice. Adam and Eve sinned, and they should have been killed right there. But see, God substituted for them a sacrifice. And right there, he chose how he's going to save man. Not by our works, but by a substitute sacrifice. And if we want to be saved today, we don't come to God our way and the way we think is right and the way we think is good. We come God's provided way. We look to Calvary and live. Look to Jesus now and live. See, he is that culmination. All the Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to that one perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Amen. That old rugged cross.
Amen.
See, if you're having trouble in your life, look to the cross.
Amen.
Look to Calvary, look to Jesus, because he is the answer. Not only does he have the answer for us, he is the answer for us to every one of our problems and needs. And so don't try to add something to God's plan, because we just make a mess out of it. Whenever you try to do something better than what God's done, you make a mess. And, you know, we talked about Eve. If Eve in the garden, if she would have stayed with God's word, if she wouldn't have listened, the only reason she listened to the devil, the serpent, was why? Because she first disbelieved what God said. He said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. And the devil, through the serpent, started reasoning. He said, well, surely you're not going to die. You're going to get wisdom and you're going to, you know, all these things. And he started talking about all these other things. But if she had complete faith in the word of God, she would have said, I'm not listening to that. She wouldn't have went that way. Because reasoning with the word is what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to look at circumstances. He wants to play on your emotions and all these other things. But faith in God's word should be the final. God said we die. I don't care what you say. I don't care about all that. God said we're going to die. But see, that reasoning with the word caused her to listen to the devil. And then she started going that way. And she got out from the protection of the word of God. And the same thing is true for us. Unbelief in God's word caused all the trouble that we see today, all the death and sorrow and sin. The same for us today. All of our troubles come from unbelief in the word of God. That's where it comes from. But I want you to get something, and the point I'm trying to make here is God knew that would happen. Do you think it surprised God when they fell in the Garden of Eden? No. He knew that when he created the world and he created man and he gave choices to man, that man was going to make a bad choice. And so part of his overall plan included the bad decisions that man made. See, we can't disrupt God's plan. God has a plan. So one thing I think we really need to trust at the end time is God is in control. No matter what the conditions of the world, no matter how messed up it gets, no matter how polluted the world is, no matter what comes our way, whether it's hurricanes or floods or nuclear bombs, no matter what threat is on the world, my God's in control.
Amen.
And I'm not going to worry about all these things. They may affect me. There may be suffering for me. There may be all kinds of things. And we pray for those that are suffering. Right now, as we speak, that hurricane's hitting Florida. And it's going to cause great devastation, the high winds and rain. And we know it's going to be trouble. But we may have suffering ahead in our life. But no matter what happens, God is in control. See, because you don't want to get to the place like a lot of people where they say, well, God's not in control if I'm not happy. No, his plan doesn't say this person has to be happy, you know, in my plan. No, his plan is so much greater than our selfishness. And we wrap around ourselves. His plan is much bigger than that.
Amen.
So I want us to realize that God's in control. Man thinks he's in control. Man thinks he can control the future, but I want you to know there's only one that holds the future, and he holds my hand, right? That's like that song, many things about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who. That's what you need to know, who holds your hand. See, does God hold your hand? And God has a plan that no one can destroy. No one can destroy the plan of God. All the efforts of the devil, all the wrongs in the world, all the sins of man are not going to destroy the plan of God.
Amen.
God is in control. He's the only one that was eternal in himself, never had a beginning, never had an end. And he shares that life with us when we receive the Spirit of God. That eternal life that was in Him comes into us. We don't live our life for eternity. We die to ourselves, see? And then we receive another life, the Holy Spirit, and then that life lives on because that's eternal life. That's the only reason we live eternity. See, God has a plan. So what I want to speak on today is God's purpose shall prevail. And I want to show you, just as we go through the scriptures, let's go back to Israel. They should have been in the promised land in a few weeks. Amen?
Amen?
Just a few weeks. But they failed and they had to wander 40 years. So I want you to see that even in the delay, God had a plan.
Amen.
God had a purpose. God was working. And we know that no matter what happens to us, God has a plan. God has a purpose. And I want you to see that God made the promise to Israel, you're going to occupy that land. And just because there was a great delay, that doesn't mean God can't keep His word. That doesn't mean God didn't keep His word. God always keeps His word. God always keeps it. And we need to trust that without any reasoning or doubt. No matter what comes our way, no matter if there's a delay in the promise. See, many times God uses time as a test for us. And just like He did with Israel here. And I want you to watch what He did with Israel, what He said here in Deuteronomy 8:2. He says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, in this time of great delay. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no." Look what God was doing in the delay. You know, sometimes a delay comes our way and it seems like nothing's happening. Do you ever feel that way? I'm waiting for God to do this. And nothing's happening, but something is happening. See, Israel looked like they were wandering around and nothing was going on, but God was humbling them. God was proving them. God was looking at what was in their heart, right? And what you and I need to realize, God's in control, not just of Israel, not just of other people, but everything that happens in my life. And I'm believing God. We're all believing God for something, right? Whether you have a loved one or something in your life that I'm believing God. And I pray to God and I keep reminding Him, Lord, I'm still believing. Even though I can't see anything happen, I believe God. But I realize, looking at Israel, something else is going on. Something's happening in the delay. God is doing something. Even when it looks like something's not happening, God is at work. Right? Do you think God is just sitting back on a rocker saying, well, we're just going to wait and then I'll go to work? God is at work. He is active. God is an active being. He's engaged. He promised, like Brother Tim was saying, to be here. And you know what? He is here today.
Yes.
Say, well, I can't see Him. Well, that has nothing to do with it. God's word is true.
Amen.
Where two or three are gathered together in my name, and we're gathered today in the name of Jesus Christ to worship Jesus Christ, the one true living God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, He promised to be here. I believe He's here.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I don't have to see Him with my eyes to believe that because I know His word is true. So He's a God who likes to hide Himself and He reveals Himself in the same simplicity that He hides Himself in. So try to focus on the word of God and what is He trying to say to me? What is He doing in my life? So in the delay, He was doing something. You know, He says to humble thee. You know, I can say this for sure. God knows how to humble people.
Amen.
You know, if there's one thing we're sure of, God knows how to humble people.
Yes.
He knows how to humble us.
Amen.
See, And actually, a wise man understands that. A foolish man believes there is no God. Oh, there is no God. He can't do anything to me. Listen, a wise man knows there's a God, and he could crush me today. And he'd still be just because I'm only worthy to be crushed, right? If you really understood. He's Almighty God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing, right? If there's any person on this earth that thinks, and they're proud, and they think that God can't humble them, they're sadly mistaken. They're sadly, and you know, many times God will humble people, and they don't even know God's doing it. Do you ever see that? I've seen that many times. I've seen people just be arrogant against God and just so self-willed and proud. And then God just puts a heavy hand on them and they don't even know it's God. Amen. They don't even realize what God's doing. Hallelujah. Oh, we should walk softly before the Lord. Amen. We should let our words be few before the Lord. Amen. When you go to pray, don't do all the talking. You know, he already knows what you're going to say. I think it's more important that we hear what he has to say. It's more enlightening for us to hear what he has to say. Listen, say all, get your list out, you know, go through everything, tell him everything. He already knew it. He knew it before you wrote the list down. Amen. See, what do we do? What are we trying to accomplish in prayer? Are we trying to log our time? Well, I got enough time in now. I'm good. It's not about how much time. It's about communicating. It's about receiving from him. Amen. I need him. Amen. I need guidance. Amen. I need instruction. Amen. I know myself. I'll go the wrong way if you let me. Amen. But thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because I'm going the wrong way. He goes, oh, get back in line. Amen. Go back the right way. Amen. Amen. So prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's about changing our mind. Amen. Job 40. Let's talk about these people that are proud that don't realize what's coming. Job 40, verse 1. Thank you, Amber. She's got it up there. We got to get that text bigger, though, Amber, like that other place we went to. I was in Colorado Springs. They had big, just kind of. I'll work on that. Praise the Lord. Job 40, verse 1. Now, remember, this is chapter 40. You know, if you never read the book of Job, read the book of Job. It's very enlightening. And, you know, in the beginning of Job, God said some wonderful things about Job. Right? Perfect and upright. How would you like God to say that about you? You know, God said some beautiful things about Job, and then all this trouble came on Job. So trouble doesn't mean God's mad at you. If you have a great trial that you can't believe you're in this trial, don't ever think it means God's mad at me. That's not true. Look at Job. He loved Job. He was proud of Job. He pointed out Job to the devil. And we're like, Lord, don't point me out, Lord. I don't want to go through that, right? But he pointed out Job to the devil, and then the devil could only go so far. See, that truth, God is no respecter of persons. The devil had limits of what he could do. God may allow him to put sickness on him and to take this and that, but he was only allowed to do what God... Listen, the devil is a tool in the hand of God. He can't do anything without permission. So don't ever think the devil's in control. He's not in control. God's in control. And if he allowed this trial to Job, he allows our trials for a purpose. Amen. So Job goes into this great trial, and then his comforters come, and they didn't say a word to him for weeks, or I don't know how long it was. They just sat there because he was in a miserable condition, right? They sat there for a few days or weeks and just sorrowing with him. And then they got tired of sitting there. Like, can't you see you must have sinned against God? And they started arguing with Job. He had enough strength to argue back. And in the end, God said that Job had said the thing that's right. But they didn't. What they said sounded real good. You know, you talk to some Christians today, it sounds real good, but don't mean it's right.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
Right? You could say a lot of things that sound right, but in the end, it's only what God says is right is right. And so God told them, go get Job to pray for you, see, because he said the things that's right. And after all that, then God goes to talk to Job. And when God talks to Job, Job's not talking high things anymore. He's not talking proud anymore. He's not a know-it-all anymore. He's like, I shouldn't talk anymore. And I believe if we really get in the presence of God, that's the way we're going to be. We're going to realize we're nothing. Even though you might be perfect and upright and say the things that are right and do the things that are right, but in his presence, we fall short of the glory of God. Who's holier than God? Who can reach his holiness and righteousness? Not one. Not one. So let's go to when God's given Job a little bit of a thrashing here. Job 44. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer. How would you like God to say that to you? You know, and when God's voice speaks, it thunders, you know, and that must have just went right through Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. He changed an attitude. You could look at Job in the earlier chapters. He knew this. I wish I knew where he was. I'd go talk to him. And then when he got there, he's like, oh, I don't want to say nothing anymore. That's the way we get. We need to watch our attitude. I'm not proud. You're proud of not being proud. Listen, we all can lean that way. And what happens is knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. See, that's why love is more important than knowledge. You can have knowledge and you can actually know something about something and then you get lifted up and you're like, I'm not lifted up, I'm right. You're lifted up. And it's a dangerous place to be, especially for a Christian, because God won't let you stay there. Then answered the Lord, verse 6, unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Praise the Lord. I want God on my side. You know, I just want to be on his side. Amen. Verse 11. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. God doesn't want you to try and save yourself. He doesn't want you to be self-righteous. He wants you to believe in him and his righteousness, his glory, his power. It's all about him when you're thinking right. It's not about you and what you've done. It's all about him. Amen. Say, well, that's like a cliche. It's all about him. Yes, but you know what? That's the truth. Life is all about him because he is life. Amen. All this is temporary.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Unless we're part of him. So he puts Job in his place. But I wanted to point out here the context of this. Cast abroad thy wrath. rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud, and abase him. What's abase mean? Humble him. Bring him low, right? Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. Listen, God can do that. I believe God does that. Now, you may see someone, you may see the wicked reign for a while, but eventually they're coming down. They're coming down. You ever see someone real lifted up in themselves, all proud and haughty? I just think, ooh, it's going to be a big fall. And I don't wish that on them. I don't wish that on anybody. Has God ever brought you low?
Amen.
He knows how to do it. You may think you're in control of life, but you know, one day you're going to find out God's in control of life.
Amen.
He's in control of my life.
Amen. Good.
And I may think I can do this and I can do that, but the reality is I can't do anything.
Amen.
Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I'm like a ship without a sail. I'm just tossed about. I need him. That's not just a song. I need him every day. We need God. We need the guidance of his word. We need the guidance of his spirit. And it's when you're proud and haughty that you try and live without him. It's pride that makes you live your day in, day out without God.
Amen.
And I want you to know it's going to lead you down and you will be humbled by God.
Amen.
He knows how to humble people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He creates the situations. He can take billions of years thinking about just your life.
Amen.
And he sees that moment in your life where you get a little lifted up. You get a little proud.
Right.
He goes, all right, how am I going to do it?
You
think you got time to think? God had time to think. All right. Well, we'll just make this rock over here. Big rock. And I'll just move it there. And then I'll make this hard place. And I'll just move it right there. And I'll just guide them right between the rock and the hard place. Yeah, let's see what they do. And you know, before you were born, he saw your every thought. He moved the rock in the hard place. He saw you going there. He knew what you're going to do.
Amen.
Before you were born, before you did it. So if you're in a trial, if you react badly, he already saw that.
Amen.
He says, all right, they need more work. Need some more work here. Need some more polishing. Need some more refining. Greater trial, I think they need. No! The answer to our problems is to humble ourselves. Do not get lifted up. Do not get all haughty and arguing with God and arguing with everybody else and pointing at everybody else. Humble yourself. If you want to get out of that classroom, that trial, humble yourself. Because the mighty God said, to this man will I look.
Amen.
He that humbles himself, that trembles at my word.
Amen.
See, we need to respect God. You're not going to get anywhere with God unless you really respect him.
Amen.
And you realize that the delay in seeing the promise fulfilled, he's trying to get us to see something.
Amen.
Not really for him to see it. He knew the end from the beginning. Do you think any one of us ever surprised God? It may have surprised you what you do. But it didn't surprise him. You know, sometimes we think, oh my, I failed so much. He must be so surprised at me. He saw it before you were ever born. But then why would he ever have anything to do with me? There's the question. That's what grace is about.
Amen.
He chooses the things that are nothing, even before they knew they're nothing.
Amen.
Oh God, help us to humble ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
help us to see properly and realize that the answer to my questions and my problems is not to use all my human strength and my human ability and my human reasoning and arguing and manipulating and attacking and fighting, but it's to humble myself to Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
To plead my case to Him. Look at Job. Oh my. Job, he spoke the things that was right. But when he stood in the presence of God, he knew he better just shut up. Many people speak in this life in such a proud manner. Think about it. It's always easier to see it in somebody else, right? We tend not to see it in ourselves, even though we do the same thing. But you look at other people and you say, look how proud they are. Look how lifted up they are. Look how self-assured and self-confident they are. Isn't that sad? It's very sad. We need to look in the mirror. We get that way. Oh, no, Brother John, I don't get that way. I am humble all the time. Whew. Special trial coming that way. Help us, Lord. He will bring all the proud and make them low. If you and I, we come here to worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, knowing the truth that God shared in the end time. Listen, you're candidates for God to use you at the end time. Right? God has shown some. But if you are proud and you try to walk in your own way, you are headed for being brought down low. Humble. Humiliation. God knows how to humble us. And listen, He always, whenever He does those things, He does it for a purpose. You know, the Bible talks about your fathers, you know, they ruled you for their own purpose, and they might have been right or wrong. Because all of us fathers were human and we make mistakes, and we might try and raise our kids the way we think is right, and we may chastise them for our own purposes. And we could be right or wrong, right? But our Heavenly Father is perfect. Everything He does is perfect. And if He's humbling us, there's a reason for it.
Amen.
It's because we're getting too lifted up in ourselves.
Help us, Lord. Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at Luke 14, verse 7. Luke 14. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, and He put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when He marked how they chose the chief rooms, saying unto them, now notice, they chose the chief rooms. You know that people, when you're bidden and you pick the best spot for yourself, the chief rooms, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he bade thee and come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, now who's talking here? This is Almighty God manifested in flesh. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher, and thou shalt have worship. And that word actually means honor. That you know, no man's to be worshipped but Jesus Christ. Right? We know that. Thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that are at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Now that looks like a promise to me. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
Do you see it? The way up is down. If you want to achieve anything in this life that's worthwhile, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thinking about something. I don't know. You know, God has humbled me so much in my life that it's just a part of life for me. You know, I just realized He really loving me today, because as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What am I to do? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I'm in a continual state of repentance. And then when I forget, then He chastised me and I'm repenting again. See, people that never repent, I'm worried about you. People that always think they're right, always choose the highest room, and they're not scolded to go down. Where's the Holy Spirit in your life? Where is He? You know what? He only chastises His children, born again children, sons of God. Look at all the people in the world that are so full of themselves. I don't want to stand next to them because I'm afraid they're going to get smitten. I'm not going to go run along with someone full of themselves and all lifted up and I can do this and I can do that. And that attitude, you're looking for lightning to come down and smite you down. There is a God of eternity. He is a ruler and reigner. And He looks on the whole earth and He looks for those that are proud and He brings them down. And I have seen it time and time again. People that get lifted up in themselves, I'm just, oh Lord, I know it's coming. I know it. It may delay. It may take a long time, but God will work the perfect circumstance to bring people down to the place and humble them. Praise the Lord. You know, that's one of the things we love about Brother Branham's ministry. The humility of it. There was humility of it. There was, you know, he stood behind the pulpit and he spoke out against sin. And sometimes he'd take your hide off. But there was always healing with it as well. And then out of the pulpit, every person that met Brother Branham in his later ministry, you know, he was such a humble man. I talked to Brother Sanger's dad, who had a personal interview with Brother Branham. And you know, I would love to have an interview with a prophet of God. How about it? A vindicated seer of God that could look into my life. You know, sometimes we don't want that, do we? When you're doing the wrong thing. God still sees whether He's got a prophet here today to tell you or not. He still sees what's wrong. Why go the wrong way? You know, I've never seen somebody improve their situation in life by running away from God. I've never seen somebody get closer to God when they run away from church and they run away from God and they get all lifted up and do their own thing. They always go down.
Amen.
The situation always gets worse.
Amen.
Though they won't admit it many times. But it just becomes obvious.
Amen.
The devil just wants you to backslide a little bit because he knows it's a slippery slope. He just wants to take a little bit of land away, and then you go, well, yeah, I don't need to do this. And then you're there, and then you're things you didn't even think you'd ever do. I've seen it many times. God help us. Praise the Lord. He knows how to humble us, brother, sister. So why not just humble yourself? That should be like every day. All right, I got to humble myself today. That should be like in our mind. He humbled himself on Calvary. I'm his follower. He died so others could live. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to die. I'm not going to force my opinion on everybody. Help us, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Up is down, down is up. What was the second thing he said to Israel? See, he humbled Israel out there. He humbled them. They went through great victories. The Egyptian army was slaughtered. They came out of Egypt with great deliverance. God, they saw their God on the mountain, lightning and thundering, and God spoke, gave them the commandments. You know, they can get lifted up when God does a great thing in your life. But he took them out there to humble them. You know, in this end time, God sent a mighty prophet to this generation. The literal fulfillment of Scripture. Before our eyes, there's a people on the earth that saw the literal fulfillment of Scripture before they saw Elijah to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Jesus promised Elias come to restore all things. And there's the people that witnessed that. They saw the signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. I thought, yes!
Amen.
Yes! We are great. No, we're not great. God is great.
Amen.
So when God vindicates himself in your life, you got to be careful that you don't get lifted up. Because it's not you that did it, no miracle. You know, I had a man say to me, I told you recently, I hadn't seen him in 15 years, and I saw him, he says, you saved my life. I said, Woody, I didn't save your life. Jesus saved your life. See, I was there when Jesus did it. See, I was working, and I was in Delaware. He was up in Pennsylvania, and we were on the phone doing business. And then at the end, I just knew something was wrong. I said, Woody, how are you doing? He said, not good, John. Not good. I just said, I'm coming up. I just, something unction on me. See, that wasn't me. Me, I'll go do something selfish. I'll see you later. Hope you're all right. I'll go pray for you and then not pray. Right? That's what people do. But something came on me and said, go. So Woody, I'm coming up. I'll meet you after work. Drove about an hour. We went to a friendly's, got a cup of coffee. I found out he had hepatitis. A weird kind of hepatitis, was on special medication. His mind was going crazy. He was getting emaciated. He couldn't gain any weight. I never had that problem. But he just, you know, was thin and going crazy. He had a gun in his car. He said, John, I was going to kill myself today. I said, well, you ain't going to kill yourself today. Jesus is here. I said, you know, the Bible says, Woody, right here, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
And I want you to know, I believe, and I know you believe, Woody, and we're going to pray, and Jesus is going to come.
Amen.
And he told me, year later, he said, John, from that day, I started gaining weight, and my mind started coming right. So he sees me 50 years, you saved my life. I said, you ain't going to do that to me. I didn't do nothing. Jesus did it.
Amen.
See, but you can have a victory like that and say, see what I did?
Right.
And then you're in trouble. We can't do anything. We're nothing.
Amen.
But our God is everything.
Amen.
So we got, always got to humble yourself. Always remember, you know, who is helping you overcome. If you're doing good in life, you ought to thank the Lord. I told the pastor that I was talking to yesterday, beautiful day yesterday. I was talking to him. I said, Pastor, everything that I have, I know God give me.
Amen.
Everything that's good in my life, it's a blessing from God. He said, that's the way I believe too. That's the way I believe. That's the way we should believe. Don't ever get to the place where you think you did something, because right there you're getting lifted up and you're coming down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To prove thee. You know, when we think about God being eternal, he knows the end from the beginning. He wasn't proven to himself. He was proven to Israel what they were.
Amen.
Right? To prove thee. God wasn't wondering what Israel's going to do. God's not wondering what you're going to do. He already knows what you're going to do. But he brings you through trials. He delays fulfilling promises. He delays answering prayers for a purpose.
Amen.
To humble thee. To prove thee. To know what's in thy heart. Not for him to know, but so we can know what we're made of. Because you really don't see what you're made of until you go through the tough times. You really don't see what you're made of until you got no money. And then you say, and then what you're going to do? I remember I came home, we had like four kids, and I didn't have milk money. I'm like, what am I going to have to do? Get another job? And then I heard a testimony out in Tucson. Now, this is reality. This really happened to me. I got four kids. My wife's home, and I'm working full time, and I didn't have milk money. I was like, what do I got to do? Of course, people today just use their credit card and go in debt, and then that's another problem, right? But I didn't want that, and I said, what am I going to do? Lord, what do I have to get another job at night? I heard a testimony. I love good testimonies. And there's a brother out there, he said, he started paying tithes not on what he made, but on what he wanted to make. And that quickened to me. I said, you know, I could get another job and I'll beat myself up. I'll be tired out, worn out. You know what? I can't outgive God. It's a law with God. And I was paying my tithes, right? Just the way you pay tithes. And I said, Lord, I didn't get greedy about it because I see God's in your heart, right? And I was making X amount. And I said, all right, I forget what it was, $30,000 a year or something like that. And I said, well, I'm going to pay tithes on $40,000 a year. Now, you were a Christian at the time, right? So I explained to her what we're doing. We ain't got any money, but we need to pay more tithes. People that aren't Christian don't understand that. So the exact amount, $10,000. I thought, all right, if I just had 10,000, you know, we always feel that way. If we just had another 10 grand, we'd be all right. We got to just stop spending money is what we got to do, right? So 10 grand, I said, another 40 years. 40,000, I'll be, if I'm at 30, if I get to 40. And I did it, and I didn't worry about it. So I didn't think about it. We're just going to keep going. Amen. And you know what happened? At work, they changed my job. I didn't ask them to change it. They changed it. Amen. See? I didn't have time to manipulate this and that. They changed it. And at the end of that year, like 6 months later, that end of year pay stud was dead exactly on the increase in tithes that I had. I got the pay stub. See, that is the only scripture where he said, prove me. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't believe that, and or if you don't pay tithes, it's because you don't believe it. You don't trust God. We're nobody here begging you for your money. We don't take up an offering. There's a box in the back. But that is the only scripture, and I have proved it over and over again. And then later in my life, I don't know why I'm saying this today, but I'll say it anyway. I'm down there, can't get out of it anyway, so here we go. Brian, my older brother, he was still Catholic, and he was in the Army. He worked 15 years like in the Army, helicopter pilot, single. Helicopter pilot in the Army, single. Well, he's got money all over the place, right? Here, I'm married at 19. I got kids. Every time I look at my wife, she's pregnant, and I got nothing. So I go to Brian's house, and he starts showing me all his investments and stuff. And he said, what you got? I said, Brian, I got nothing, man. You should be ashamed of yourself. You got to take care of your family. And he was like ripping into me. And I'm like sitting there going, I should be ashamed of myself. I should be taking care of my family, you know? And I walked out of his house, literally. I walked out the door, I closed it behind me, and I went like this. I went, Lord, you are my retirement plan. Amen. I'm going to fix him. I'm going to give you more tithes. Amen. And I did the same thing again. Amen. Now, you know I'm not lying to you. This is absolute truth. Amen. And I paid more tithes, and bam, I am 6 months. Might have been 6 months before my job change, but bam, right dead nuts on what I was paying tithes. My salary went up. The company I was working for, they did 90% domestic Yahweh, domestic work, 10% international. And some numbskull at the top decided, well, we got to grow our international work. I think it was God that did it. And they didn't even ask me. They took me out of my job and said, you're going into that group. And they gave me a raise of exactly that amount. Amen. Is that, can you outgive God?
Woo! Hallelujah.
Crazy. You know, people say, Brother John, you're generous. No, I'm not. I'm smart. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. It's a law with him.
Amen.
Now, I'm not smart myself. I just know what God's word said. Amen. So I'm selfish if you really look at it the other way. Prove him.
Right, brother.
I had somebody come to me and he said, well, I tried to do tithing. It didn't work. See, you're wrong the way you approach it.
Right.
You don't try it. You do it because you believe it.
Amen.
People come with financial problems all the time. I got this problem there. Can you do this and that? And I hate to say it. Do you pay tithes? Well, no, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. Praise the Lord. Now, none of this is in my notes, so if it hits you, it ain't me. Okay, it's in the Word.
Malachi chapter 3, all right? Praise the Lord. He proves to us through trials what we're made of. To prove thee. God in the delay was showing Israel, unfortunately, how wrong they were. The many bad things they did. See, but there's mercy with the Lord. If you're here today and you're getting a scolding, listen, because God loves you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants to turn a bad situation into good.
Yes.
He's a redeemer.
Amen.
He loves to restore.
Yes.
He loves to heal. You know what God wants to be when you think about God in your life? He wants you to think of Him as my deliverer.
Yes.
He loves that when people think of Him as the deliverer. The God that delivered Israel out of Egypt.
Amen.
He wants to be the God that delivers you every day of your life.
Amen.
I want you to know He's my deliverer.
Amen.
I get myself in trouble and He gets me out.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And how does He get me out? I humble myself. I get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm guilty.
Praise
I need You, Lord.
True. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Trials in this life, delays in getting answers, delays in seeing the fulfillment. These things can be very hard. But when it's over, we see the hand of God.
Amen.
I could tell you I've been through some hard trials, didn't think I was going to make it. Didn't think I was going to survive.
Amen.
And then I get through and I'm still standing. I'm like, I still believe God.
Amen.
I still believe Him.
Amen.
I still want to serve Him.
Amen.
That faith.
Glory.
The trying of your faith is more precious than gold tried in the fire.
Oh,
trials test your faith. And when you come through the trial and you're still standing and you're still believing God, that produces something.
Praise the Lord.
The next wave, that ain't so big. I've been through worse than that. The devil tries to hit you. You know, the devil's always got a punch coming. You know when he gets you good is when you don't think he's going to punch you. What am I trying to say? When you think your life's going to go on smoothly and nothing's going to happen and no trials are going to come your way, that's when the devil gets you good. When you're not looking for it. But if every time you turn the corner, you're looking for it. Every day, all right, where's he going to hit me today? Bobbing and weaving. Right? You got the hands up. You're ready. I'm in the greatest battle of all. My greatest enemy is myself. Boom, right? We hit ourselves. But you're looking for it. You're more ready to prepare. You're ready to recover from the hit. And when he hits you and you go, I've had worse before. You got to do better than that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we see that even through hard trials, we still believe God. We still want to serve Him. He proves us and shows us what we're made of. Now, I want to say something to you. One of the key objectives of the Holy Spirit right now is to show the bride who she is. I know who I am. No, you don't. Because if you knew who you were, you could overcome. And when you get overcome, it's because you don't believe who God said you are. His bride. Brother Bram says this, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word, the same actions, the same things He did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position. It will one day.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Then the rapture will go. When it knows what it is.
Amen.
You know, we just heard look away to Jesus and on Thursday night, and that part where he goes through the five times of the spoken word, the third pool manifestations. He says, I know what the third pool is. I know what the third pool does. He said, now I don't say the Lord told me this, but I think this is that which will cause that rapturing faith. She knows who she is. The Holy Spirit's all through your life as a Christian, He's trying to show you
That you may look like everybody else, but you're not like everybody else. You may talk and people think you're not different, but you're different because of the experiences you had with God. Because of Him and His Spirit in you. And in this day, He's got a people around the world. It may not be a lot of people. But there's coming, I believe with all my heart, without a shadow of a doubt, there's coming a latter rain upon the bride. And when that latter rain falls, it doesn't just fall on the bride. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But people, that the seed that's sown is going to manifest what it is. And there's coming a manifestation of the sons and daughters of God that is going to be unlike anything I don't think we've seen in a long, long time. He's not just restoring us back to Azusa Street or back to Methodist or Baptist or those kind of things. He's restoring us back to before the fall, where Adam could speak. I don't like where that tree is. Be plucked up and move over there. You believe it? Now you try that in your own self and inspiration, it ain't going to work. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's not you speaking no more. It's God speaking. So He needs a people that can handle that.
Amen.
And you know what's required training for that kind of power? Humility. Knowing that you're nothing. Not just saying, yeah, I'm nothing, but I'm great. No, knowing that you're nothing. Knowing that you're unworthy. I believe there's going to be a bride around the world that realizes that He is God. And He's worthy to be worshipped, whether He saves me or not. That's a revelation. Would you worship Him in hell? Would you? Well, no, I can't worship Him in hell. You got to save me, then I'll worship Him. You don't get it. You don't realize He's worthy.
Amen.
Whether you're there or not.
Amen.
Whether He saved me or not. He's worthy to be worshipped. The guy that's revealed Himself to me, He's beautiful.
Amen.
He's wonderful. He's powerful. He's got a sweet spirit.
Amen.
And what I see about myself, I'm nothing. I'm a wretched, poor sinner. And if He's pleased to live eternity without me, all right then. That's His choice. Because I understand it. I can't stand to be around me either. Amen?
Amen.
He is God. But I'll tell you this, I'm trusting in His mercy. I got my arms so tight around Calvary. I'm trusting in the blood that was shed. I'm not trusting in anything I've done or said or nothing like that. I'm trusting in His sacrifice was all sufficient for me. And though my sins are red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad Jesus came to save sinners. That's me, Lord. Save me, Lord.
Amen.
Can't save myself.
Amen.
Oh, I'm taking too long.
Preach on, brother.
All right. To know what's in thine heart. Now again, He knew what was in your heart before you're born. You believe that?
Amen.
If He knows every time a little gnat bats his eye or a bug, and Amber don't like bugs, but if He knew how many times you'd bat your eyes, I believe He knew our whole life before this world was created. Now, that kind of makes our pea brain explode a little bit, right? When you think about a God that's so great that He knew every person that ever lived and He knew every thought they'd ever think before this world was ever formed. Whoa, what a God. How does a God that big even come down inside of a body? But He did it.
Amen.
And that's why Jesus is so special. Because all that God was, He poured into Christ. And here's the crazy part. All that was in Christ, He puts in the church. That's what He's trying to do. It's not us, but we need to get out of the way. We need to get out of the way. And you know how you get out of the way? The best way to get out of the way is to really see what you are. And then you got nothing to offer God. And you just need to step back and say, Lord, I'm nothing. You just take over. Like I do back in the office. This morning I wasn't feeling real good. And I said, Lord, I can't do anything. I said, if you're not going to be with me out there, just don't let me make it to the pulpit. I'd rather that they find a dead man's bones than they get out of the will of God. Amen. I said, but if I make it there, Lord, confirm your word. Confirm your word. Pour out your spirit upon us. And that'll be my prayer till the day I die. I want to see God's spirit come on pour on us like he did on the day of Pentecost. I want to see tongues of fire over each one of your head. I want to see you try and speak your language and another language comes out. I want to see the supernatural power of God. And I want you to know, I believe it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't come here and stand here. But I'm expecting God to be all that he promised to be. Say, but there's such a delay. I don't care there's a delay. God works in a delay. He's working on me. He's proving me. He's humbling me. He's showing me what's in my heart. And when I fail, he picks me up. And that's the most amazing thing about it. Lord, why would you ever have anything to do with me? We're never going to understand that. Stop trying to figure that out. Stop trying to make yourself righteous. You can't do it. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just come as you are. The greatest obstacle to people that are sinned is they try to fix themselves before they come to God. No, you can't do that. He'll let you fail again. He'll let you fail and fail and fail until you realize, I can't do anything. I am a failure. But my God is a Savior. I am a sinner. But I want to be saved by grace. I accept his sacrifice. Praise the Lord. He wants to show us what's in our heart. You know, no one wants a difficult trial. If I said to everyone today and they were honest, how would you like a really difficult trial? Nobody's going to go, me, right? And I'd say no one wants to be in a hurricane. No one wants their house to be flooded. No one wants these things to happen. But these things help to strip away things that don't matter. You think about all the people that are thinking about their life right now. I know people that were in Houston, houses flooded. They're just different when you talk to them. What happens? You got all these priorities in your life. Well, this is first. God's at the bottom. I got to do this, and this is more important than this, and this is, and you're juggling these wrong priorities. All of a sudden, when a tragedy and trials, hard trials come, your priorities get shaken. Oh, you know what? This I put on the bottom needs to be my highest priority. Trials help us adjust our priorities. That should be a prayer. Lord, help me have the right priorities. Help me focus on the things that are important. Help me not to have all my objectives. See, God's looking at your heart. He wants you to see your heart. And we can't see it unless he lets us see it. And he wants to show you your motives and objectives and things. Should be God's objectives. It should be God's motives. Take the higher ground. Praise the Lord Jesus. Israel delayed by 40 years before they entered the fulfillment of the promise. Today there's a bride that's in a delay. And let me just say this. I believe Brother Branham prophesied of the time we're in right now. Because by vision and there was a time, God was teaching Brother Branham that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You might remember this. And so Brother Branham was out in the log and the wind would blow open his Bible to that scripture. And Brother Branham's like, I just ain't getting it. You know, you don't always get things right away. So it says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And he didn't understand it. God was showing him that the same Holy Spirit can pour out in a church like this and manifest a true manifestation of God, even if the person's wrong. The same Holy Ghost can fall on the weeds and the wheat. And so Brother Branham went into a vision. And in this vision, it was a dry time. And the wheat had its head over going, and the weeds was bowed down. And everybody was praying for rain. That's where we are right now. Dry time. Difficult time. Lack of moisture. Lack of Holy Spirit moving the way it should. The way we want Him to. The way He wants to. But it's a time where it's dry. And what do you do when you're dry? You want moisture. You want pray for rain. I need a glass of water. I need. Lord, the church needs an outpouring. The vision showed that. And then what come? An abundance of rain. And the wheat went, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the weeds went, praise the Lord.
Amen.
When this rain comes upon the bride, it's not just going to rain on the bride. But the seed that's in you will manifest what it is. So the denominational churches will feel the rain and they'll start to do what they are. And everything Brother Branham said about them, ecumenical movement coming down, the squeeze coming down, it's all going to happen just the way he said. And the sons and daughters of God, I believe, will have a private manifestation of God. Not a public show, but God will demonstrate and show them this really is God. And there'll be manifestations of the supernatural power of God. Sons and daughters of God will be manifested right at the end. I believe that with all my heart. So in that time, I believe that vision, Brother Branham didn't do that vision. God did the vision. The dry time, nobody likes to be in a trial. We're in it. If you're in a delay, that's a trial from God. But just look at what God's trying to show you about yourself. That's what He's doing. Nothing's messed up. Nothing's out of order. My God's perfect. His plan is perfect. Could He come very soon? Sure. Look at the birth pains. We see an eclipse go across the USA. Everybody's rejoicing. Eclipse. Oh, yeah. Get the glasses out. It's darkness across the USA. Right? What does that mean? I don't know, but I don't think it's something good. And then after that, we see Houston get hammered by Harvey. We see earthquake in Mexico. We see an 8-point earthquake. We see Irma, whatever the name is. Another. To me, I'm going, what's next? Jose. Right? But brothers and sisters, this is birth pains. And when the birth pains start getting that close together, it's time for birth. And Brother Adam's coming this way in a few weeks, October 1st, he'll be here. And he was saying that he was preaching about birth pains. And he said, what I'm looking for, Brother John, is right before the mother gives birth, Brother Bram said there's a sweet spirit that comes on her. Oh, I like that thought. He said there's a sweetness that comes around mama just before the baby comes out. He said, I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to come in a sweet way on the bride of Christ. Just before Jesus Christ's birth. This time it's not a little baby in a manger. It's a full grown Jesus Christ in the church. Aren't you glad of that? Listen, don't be discouraged. God knows what He's doing. God, let's all stand. Let's turn to James chapter 5 as one last scripture. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There it is. James chapter 5, verse 7. I think Tim mentioned patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Amen.
Grudge not against another. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I can understand Job just holding his hand over his mouth. I can understand Job when he says, I've spoken things too wonderful for me. Every time I handle the message of the hour, I realize we've been caught up into something so wonderful, so humble, yet so powerful. Lord, all I can say is have your way. Like Mary, when the angel came to her, be it done unto me according to your word. O Lord Jesus, bless your bride around the world. Make us ready for this hour that's come upon us. Lord, I'm not expecting the world condition to get better, but worse. But Lord, I'm expecting the condition of the bride to change. I'm expecting your spirit to pour out upon us and manifest what your word says, that we could become the word made flesh once again. Help us, Lord. Bless each one here. Lord, I know there's many trials and hardships, but help us to realize you're still in control, Lord. May we not despair like the world. May we not be hopeless and faithless, but fill us with your faith, O God. Fill us with your spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Do you love him?
Amen.
Let's sing that to him. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charms. Gone from my heart, the world. I love him because he first. Number four in the Only Believe. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Now through the blood, I'm saved from all along. Down at the cross, my heart is bending low. The precious blood Jesus cleanseth white as snow. I love him. I love him because he first loved me, and purchased my salvation.